That'd be really hard to do. I've seen him play a high line.
Oh.
We don't need no masthead, we don't need no rules, 'cause we just talk and bounce boys like a bunch of crazy ass fools.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. You are tuned in to Mashhead Free Podcast, a We Is Us production. My name is Tottenham Makes Me Cry, and I'll take this opportunity now to let our commentators introduce themselves, starting with Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, everybody, it's 55th Vin here. You might know me from such blogs as Carter's Cartilage Free Captain and Word Number Oon. Feel free to get at me at 55th Vin if you want to hear some ridiculous stuff.
Okay, let's go over to the West Coast of the United States.
West Coast is the best coast. Hi, everybody, it's Bricks, and I really don't have anything interesting to say, so I suggest following 55th.
And last but not least, the one who stayed up the longest way past his bedtime, all the way from London.
I'm actually in Oxford at the moment. It's AO1 Chitra. I don't know how you want to pronounce that. You can pronounce
AO like
really,
everybody else?
Yeah, call me AO. I really don't mind. So yeah, it's about 1:15 in the morning here. I resent you all.
Fair enough.
Well, we appreciate you, AO. And I am Tottenham Makes Me Cry. You can follow me on Twitter, but I'm not giving you my address. I'm going to let you hunt me down yourself. So, all right, does anybody have something pressing that they really, really want to get into?
Well, after the match on Sunday, I was thinking about the last few years, and I'm sure that everybody's going to have a different take on this, but I feel like right now, even since we got rid of AVD, we're a team without an identity. We were playing, especially in the midfield, I was really bothered by the way we were playing in the midfield with Paulinho, Dembele after Kapu got hurt, and then Bentaleb. And here's the thing I'll say. We're used to these dominant personalities, even if they're not really demonstrative on Spurs, people who want the ball at their feet, people who want to take the game to the other team. I mean, we can all think about Rafa. You know, no matter what we thought of Rafa, Rafa would always be getting in those little spaces, you know, doing that little Ajax, put the ball to my feet. And he wasn't, like, kind of saying, like, hey, put the ball to my feet. He was like, give me the ball. And he was pissed if you didn't. The other day, I saw, you know, Paulinho kind of do that, but he was kind of, like, sidling up to, like, the defender and, like, doing that little Ajax, play the ball to my feet. And I was like, why would anybody play the ball to your feet? You're, like, you're guarding yourself. And it's just like I feel like the team doesn't have like an identity. Nobody who really wants to take the game over.
Well, and on if I may, if I all honesty, if you had the ball, would you pass it to the Brazilian genius?
that's another topic for another day. But basically, I'm just interested in what what other people were thinking about. Like, does our team even have an identity? I think our best player is Hugo. And that's not really a good thing at the moment.
I would like to say something here, if I may. I agree. I think we're struggling for an identity this year. And last year, even if it focused around one person, I think we all had a sense of what was going to happen day in and day out. And that gave a lot of us some sense of security. And, you know, we knew what to expect. I'm going to have to disagree with Hugo being our best player. I think he's actually quite overrated.
Ooh, shots fired. Shots fired.
I think he's an excellent keeper. I do, but he's just not there yet to the level of I think Barcelona is going to pick him up if we don't make Champions League. They might, but or when we don't make Champions League, they might get him, but I don't think he's world class at this point.
Okay.
I definitely 100% disagree that Hugo Lloris is not world class. But I agree that he isn't our best player, because I think that certainly this season, if you were going to pick one player not to have suddenly become injured, and just to put that out there, I am officially using jinx at this point. sorry for the imminent bad things that are about to happen. But they're clearly Adebayor and Eriksen, who have been basically unplayable this season. And I think if yeah, well, unplayed this week. But I mean, basically, if the two of them are on form, that's pretty well all the identity that we need. Because if the plan last year was just get it to Bale, the plan this year is just get it to Adebayor, and Eriksen's kind of been the player to do that.
Okay, if I may interject for a second. If there's one player that we know we can't afford to get injured, that's Michael Dawson. And you want to know why? Because if Michael Dawson got injured, we would have no one to blame, and we actually would have to blame the right person for why we are such crap this year.
Round of applause, my friend.
Yeah.
Because we've already blamed Townsend for our futility earlier this year, then he got injured. We blame Soldado. We blame Lamella. We blame Kyle Walker. We blame the other Kyle. We blamed Kabul. We blamed Dembele. We blamed Lennon. Who else do we have left to blame for our crap?
Gilfie?
Other than who? Gilfie?
Stop up.
You know who we need to blame is, like, we just need to blame Tottenham. Like, just Tottenham in general. We just are bad.
I mean, yeah. I think that...
Vince and then A1.
Okay. Here's what I wanted to kind of say is, like, I see your point with Eriksen, A1, but he's not playing week to week. It's when he plays, he's ultimately his creative force. Yeah, he's not perfect. He's not, like, taking all games over all the time. But he obviously needs to be playing, at least in my book. He needs to be playing, and he's not. So it's hard for me to, like, call him our best player when he's not even in the starting 11 every week.
Okay,
I would say Adebayor definitely has been really productive since he's come back into the squad. I can't argue with that at all.
Okay, A1?
I didn't really have anything productive that I was going to say. Really what I was going to say was if we were going to blame anyone, I think what we should really blame is the entire American fan base. I think it's definitely their fault. And I think we can all agree on that.
Yes, when all else fails, just blame the Americans.
Absolutely.
I think I'm okay with that.
You know, Americans have big shoulders. We're used to that. We take the blame for everything else going on in the world. I mean, if it wasn't for us, you'd be speaking German right now, but, you know, we won't go there.
Yeah. I do actually already speak German, so.
They're so much better than us.
Yeah.
Any other narratives that we want to take away from? What were the? All right, I'll ask this question. We'll start with you, A1. What were some positives you got from either the City match or the Europa League match with that Ukrainian team that no one can pronounce?
I think, in truth, that it's kind of difficult to take positives from the match against Dnipro. Because,
okay.
I mean, basically, we just played really, really badly. And I think that probably the reason for that would be the pitch in a very big way. So in that sense, you know, I'm not particularly bothered by it. I was bothered by how poorly we played against Norwich. And I think that that's a much more meaningful kind of failure.
What I would like to say about the Norwich game is that I was sitting there thinking, do we really think that they're going to lay down at home? It kind of seemed to me like we were going through the motions, and I was really disappointed with our attacking, our movement in the attacking third. Now, I'm probably going to get drilled over this, but I was really encouraged by Soldado's movement in the attacking third. His finishing is broken right now. I mean, I have not seen somebody this far inside their own head with a skill that they're, like, really good at for a long time. I mean, it's painful to watch him try to finish. But he came on and he was moving. He was making himself available. So that's how shit that match was, that I think Soldado was the positive.
Bricks.
I agree with Vin on this. I think that Soldado, it's just hard watching him not be able to finish, but then also contributing off the ball reminds me a little bit of Adebayor at the end of last season when we were all calling for his head. But the thing about the game in Ukraine, I thought Kyle Naughton is just a, like, again, going to save our ass this year. He's just such an exceptional player, and it, don't laugh. I'm serious. He is carrying the squad, and I just think that without Kyle Naughton, I mean, we already pissed away the Champions League when we sold Adam Smith, and without Kyle Naughton, we're just fucked. That's all.
Do you think that Kyle Naughton, like, doesn't know what to do when Kyle Walker isn't there? Like, it's kind of like a, you know, a twin situation? I don't know.
A little bit. Kyle Walker doesn't know what to do when he's there.
So, I mean, I kind of get the feeling like you weren't being entirely serious about Kyle Naughton. But, honest to God, I actually thought he may well have been our best player against the Dnipro.
I agree. Go ahead.
Because basically, I mean, he was up against what I think is pretty well the only player that Dnipro had. In Konopka the anchor, and I'm aware that in the comments section after the match, there were a lot of people saying, you know, oh, Kyle Naughton got roasted 100,000 times, and there's that gif of Konopka the anchor, like, just wiggling around a bit and Kyle Naughton falling over. But actually, absolutely fuck all came from that move, and he really wasn't very productive for the entire match, and I think that a lot of that was down to Naughton. And I've not ever really been terribly convinced by him, but as a defensive fullback in that specific one match, I thought he was very good.
Yeah, I think a lot of people only want to see the bad of Kyle Naughton after we played him out of position on the left this year. But really, again, like I said, player of the year.
He's better than Vertonghen on the left.
Ooh. Everything's better than Vertonghen.
Benoit Assou-Ekotto is not better.
No, Benoit Assou-Ekotto is probably the most overrated player we've ever had.
I would agree, apart from the fact that nobody rates him anymore because he is terrible.
So I think he's myself. Always been terrible, but that's just me.
Vince has left the building.
Vince, what is your opinion on Kyle Naughton or
my opinion is on Benoit Assou-Ekotto, who is like the cult legend of. Like, my time watching Spurs. If you can't enjoy Benoit doing a Cruyff turn under pressure in a big match, I don't know if you guys have souls. That's all I want to say. I grew up watching a lot of Italian national team. So I know of tactical football. And when I saw Benny doing those Cruyff turns, like I said, under pressure, something awoke inside me and said, yes, I love you, Benny. And I really don't care. I mean, he could probably murder somebody, and I'd be like, nope, best left back ever at Spurs. I'm a little biased.
I think that even if Benny did murder somebody at this point, we're still so mad about him throwing up two fingers while Addy threw up three fingers during the Man City match that nobody wants him back. But I'm with you, Vin. I think that Benny is better than Vertonghen and Naughton on the left. And Gareth Bale.
I don't think there could be any argument about Bale. Bale is definitely the worst left back that we've ever had. He's all right going forward, but defensively he's a shambles. But I think the problem with Assou-Ekotto, rather than obviously he did a terrible thing when him and Adebayor, I think before the match, did some kind of presumably some kind of fascist gang salute. Didn't really understand what was happening, but. But as an actual left back playing in the Championship for QPR, he really has been poor this season, and I'm inclined to trust our management on this one as they've sent him out there, and then also my eyes seeing him being really bad. So
this isn't about reason. There's nothing reasonable about my stance here.
Since you brought up management, that should bring us to our next subject, our management. I think I'm going to go first. I'm pretty much on record of saying when anything good happens with Tottenham right now, it's in spite of Sherwood. And when anything bad happens because at Tottenham right now, I think it's because of Sherwood. So let's get on to our management. Who's ready to fire Sherwood today? I. All those opposed say nay.
Well, nay, actually. I don't want to sound too much like Ed, because we're both English and it's already going to be quite difficult to tell us apart. But I think that basically he does deserve a fair crack of the whip. And the reason that I think that mostly is nothing to do with his tactical competence or his competence as a human being. Yeah, I mean, basically, I think he's incompetent. But I think he's incompetent and he really likes our youth team. And I also really like our youth team. And I think that's actually not something that's so small that we can ignore it, because albeit we could bring in a manager like Louis van Gaal or Frank de Boer or whatever, and, you know, they will be much better managers than Tim Sherwood. They've been around the block, more so in the case of Louis van Gaal. They know what they're doing. But they don't know anything about our youth team. And I think actually that we do have one of the best youth systems in the world at the moment, and that's really one of the things that we need to be focusing on.
Okay.
So I would give him a bit of a crack.
Is the question if I like Sherwood?
Anything about Sherwood or the management?
Well, whatever. I don't care. But AVB was arguably the hottest Premier League manager, and now we're like going from like winning the league in hotness to top of the table. He's not a bad-looking guy, but I mean, we have to keep in mind that both Roberto Martinez, Alan Pardew, obviously, who will win the league, and Jose Mourinho are by far better looking. Mm. So we could qualify for Champions League based on his looks, but he's clearly an upper mid-table looking manager.
I just wanted to say, if we've gone from winning the league to top of the table, we're actually still doing pretty all right.
Okay, he's no AVB.
But who is?
Here's my problem, man. If you look at it, yes, he is really in tune with what's going on with our youth squad. But the thing is, we have all these established internationals on our team. The youth squad are not established internationals. I have a little bit of a problem with Bentaleb being on the team sheet before Eriksen. Not because Bentaleb is terrible. He's not terrible. Mm-hmm. But I don't see him being a dynamic force. I see him being asked to do too much by Sherwood. In the last couple games, he's been freed up a little bit at times. But I think there's a problem here. Listen, he's been hurt and he's almost a non-factor. We don't know what's going on in the training sessions. But to my mind, the one player we really bought this summer that could have replaced Bale was Lamella, talent-wise. I'm not saying I know anything else about his state of mind. And the fact that a player like Bentaleb is like, oh, get in there, while a player like Lamella was like, oh, you got to wait your turn. To me, that's a sense of confusion from management, not vision.
Mm. I'll accept that.
Yeah, I think that probably the key point that I would make, I definitely agree that we have essentially better players right now than Bentaleb, and I think that Sandro and Dembele and probably Paulinho all fall in that bracket. The key is that this season, which I'll admit I've kind of written off, is really going to be about bringing these young players to the fore so that next season we don't... Basically, my concern is we don't Jamie O'Hara all of these players, because I don't know if any of you guys remember Jamie O'Hara.
I love him.
But I absolutely fucking love that guy. And I really wanted him to make it. He tried so hard. And I honestly did. I honestly watched him at Wolves. And, I mean, he had a lot of skill. He had really quite a lot of skill. And I think it's easy to forget that, because he never played for us. And then he was sold. He's basically doing what Jake Livermore is doing now.
Don't speak ill of their next great big thing.
Yeah. I mean, he is the next Modric.
Bentaleb. No. I cannot love... I can't even like Bentaleb, because I've already given my midfield heart to Jake Livermore. Jake Livermore is going to be the next greatest Spurs player from the youth system. And he's tearing up at Hull City. You can't deny it. Just accept it. Jake Livermore, future club captain, future England legend.
That's better. Hey, that's better than Tom Carroll.
Fuck that kid.
I just want to apologize to our listeners. The opinions there from Cry do not reflect the opinions of this podcast. Tom Carroll is God. Tom Carroll is God.
This is my opinion. This is my opinion only. But I think Tom Carroll, the only thing I've ever seen him do was have that little sideways pass to Bale for him to score that goal at West Ham away last year. That's the only thing I've seen Tom Carroll do. He's done nothing else. Jake Livermore has proven it time and time again every time he stepped on the pitch, either in a Spurs shirt or in a Hull City shirt. He's proven that he is Premier League quality.
And that's why I think that Tom Carroll is God. Yeah, no, I've got to agree with you there, Cry. I've got to agree with you that Tom Carroll is God.
Well, if Tom Carroll's God, then I'm an atheist.
Oh.
Wah, wah. I got to say here, I know how much some of the commentary loves Tom Carroll and Lewis Holtby, and they're very similar. They're both look like they're 12, they're overrated, and they're good at Instagram. Give me Jake Livermore, or give me death.
And I think
Vince, what's your opinion on Jake Livermore versus Tom Carroll versus the other guy?
Well, I think that the key is Instagram, really. I mean, somebody who's not willing to put themselves out there on Instagram, are they going to have the wherewithal in the big moment to want to take the proverbial selfie on the field, which is the big shot, the big pass? You know, Jake Livermore, you know, he's shrinking from, except for that picture last year where Huddleston, Lennon, and him were out drunk and they got, you know, accosted by the kid from One Direction. He's shrinking from the limelight. So I don't know, man. I don't feel like I can trust him in the big spot. You know, I want the kids with selfie. You know, selfies galore. They want to take the big shot. I don't know. I know this analysis is maybe too deep for you all.
We get it. You want to field One Direction in the midfield. That's what I got out of this.
No, yeah. You know what? I think I have it. I think I have it. Is some of us on this pod want our Tottenham superstars to look like Drake, while others on this podcast want our superstars to look like Macklemore.
What the fuck?
I think that is that about it? Is that how it goes?
No.
No. You're done. I'm kicking you out.
What? You didn't think Macklemore deserved the Grammy? I thought he did.
He won one?
He won four.
I don't have time for this shit. What are we talking about next?
I knew I didn't watch that for a reason, yeah.
Boy, you're from Seattle, Brice. How do you not like Macklemore?
I let's go back to talking about Tim Sherwood.
Can I just check? Is it actually pronounced Macklemore?
Macklemore, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I've only ever seen it written down. I always thought it was Macklemore. Yeah. Macklemore.
Still doesn't make his music good. So.
Who is Ryan Lewis?
This is awesome.
That's what I want to know. He's the Jake Livermore of music. No one ever sees him.
Jeez.
And probably get his ass kicked by a kid from One Direction.
Jesus. Jesus. Oh,
and
my
then,
God. Okay.
Then he's going to get sold to Real Madrid.
You guys are breaking my heart here. You guys are breaking my heart. All right, I'm going to just move this along before I just, like, break down in tears. Like William Gallus on an Australian pitch. Okay.
Oh, so sad.
So, where are we as far as the table, Champions League, Europa League, you win nothing, you'll like it, in the grand scheme of things?
I think we have
are
to
we
be going
happy. To make Champions League this
year? Be happy if we take fifth. I'm going to be honest here. Liverpool cannot defend anybody, but when you have Sturridge and Suarez, and every once in a while, you have Raheem Sterling doing wonderful things. And it pains me to say it, too, that
Jordan
from time
Henderson.
To time, Jordan Henderson looks like a footballer these days. They can score, man. They're just outscoring their problems. And we have too many problems for me at the moment, or maybe the problems are so inconsistent we don't have a consistent problem. They just kind of move everywhere. Where I don't think we have enough to catch them. It doesn't mean they're not going to be rooting for us to catch them or anything stupid like that. It's just, that's what I feel. I feel like fifth place.
A1, you look like you had something like you were dying to say. No, I guess not. Brits?
Fuck Liverpool. I don't know. I don't have time. I think we'll finish fifth. I hope we finish fifth, because if we finish sixth, that means Everton finishes fifth. And that would suck. So, fifth, I like Europa. The only thing I really enjoy about Champions League, to be honest, is that song where they just opera sing the champions. The champions! That's pretty good. But otherwise, I like Europa because we get to go to the cooler countries. I'm fine with it. Fifth, wanted a trophy. I hope we take Europa. I'd rather win Europa and finish seventh.
Okay, well, I just missed all of that. But I also would like to win the Europa League, and I couldn't really care less about the league at this point because I don't think it's realistic that we're going to catch Liverpool.
You agree? I think I want to. Where's Europa League's finals at? Is it Turin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to lose the finals in Turin, so that all those people who are always complaining that we shouldn't be in Europa League, I want them to have their heart broken when their hypocrisy is exposed. And then I want to finish eighth in the league because okay. I want complete disaster. I want. If it's going to go bad, I want to go all bad. I want all the
Tim
tears.
Sherwood to fry.
No, I want Tim Sherwood to manage a youth team because he manages Tottenham's first team like it's a youth team by just throwing shit on the field, seeing what works out, because that's exactly what a youth team coach would do. So now that this season has gone to shit, I want to go to complete diarrhea. Yeah.
I kind of like the analogy, but I don't want to drink anything for quite some time.
Oh. Well, all right. Now we're going to go into our next segment. Marry, kill, or do. No, marry, kill, and do. And who are the three contestants for this week, Bricks?
Oh, I'm going to leave the picking up to Vince here. Ben?
We have Bentaleb, Sherwood, and Dawson.
Oh.
Okay? And if you don't mind, I'm going to go first. Because I have this all worked out on contingencies. All right?
Okay, go ahead.
So I am going to marry Sherwood.
Okay? Oh, my God.
I'm going to marry Sherwood because if you've ever seen The Godfather, where Michael kills Carlo at the end. You know,
what the fuck?
Spoiler alert.
You're a terrible person.
What I'm going to do is I'm
going to... Okay, everyone, hands up.
Sherwood.
Hands up. Who's seen The Godfather? Oh, that's weird. My hand isn't up.
So I'm playing the part here of Michael. I'm marrying Sherwood, and then he has to watch me kill the thing he loves the most in this world, in Bentaleb.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I'm marrying Sherwood, killing
Bentaleb. That sounds really good. Yep.
And then I'm going to do Dawes with the contingency that I get to him first before Brix does. Because the night before, I'm going to do some really crazy shit, so she has to worry about where I've been.
Oh my God!
I'm going to marry Sherwood, kill Bentaleb to get at Sherwood, and then do Dawson to get at Bricks. And that is my marry, do, and kill.
Jesus.
Okay, wow. So I'm pretty much going to jump straight in at this point. Yeah. So obviously you would marry Dawson because Dawson's the best person, and also he's got the most money. kill Sherwood because Bentaleb is meaningless without Sherwood. And then also kill Vin.
Well, am I the last one? Okay.
Bricks.
Alright. Well, this should be obvious. I'm clearly going to marry Michael Dawson.
He's already taken.
I don't have time for this. And then, I'm going to screw Bentaleb, definitely. Cute enough. And then I'm going to kill Sherwood for ruining my life.
Jeez. To go with the whole Godfather analogy, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen Godfather.
Old,
I am going to treat Bentaleb like Fredo and take him out into the middle of the lake, shoot him in the back of the head, and feed him to the crabs. I am going to marry Tim Sherwood so I can divorce him and take all his money and turn him into to the police like Raymond Felton's wife did to him. And then I am going to do Michael Dawson. And when I say do him, I mean do him in the homicidal sense, not in the romantical sense.
Oh, so that is my list.
Upsetting.
Semantics. I'm sorry, Bricks. Sorry, Bricks. Some of us, we don't love Dawson like you love Dawson.
Have you guys seen the time when he was in the tunnel? You guys might not know this, but there was this time when he was in the tunnel and you could see his junk. Have you guys heard about
that? Sexual imagery right there, Bricks. That's a lot of sexual imagery coming out.
Letting you know.
Is he a Jewish or Gentile?
Oh, that's a topic for another day, friend.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering. I mean, if we're going to go to this whole visual image, I need to know these things.
I feel like I won that segment. Just saying, the only objective thing that's happened on this podcast so far is that I won that segment.
with my score?
You did marry Michael Dawson. That's a win.
Michael Dawson's no more than a slam piece for any person.
Oh, you just had sex with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's still a win.
To ruin him for you.
Mm. That'd be really hard to do. I've seen him play a highline.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. And that was Brick's joke of the week.
Yeah.
Hey. She's here all week, folks. Well, I think this is about halftime, so A1, Vince, do you want to introduce our next topic, our next segment?
Well, I can introduce it. This week, we have our installment of Lame of Two Halves, where we are going to talk about the most important issues in football today. We're going to have a rotating, set. People are going to, basically talk about these topics in a way that we're not seeing in the media. We're going to really try to get to the heart of what's going on. One week it might be Cry, one week it might be A1, one week it might be Bricks, in the analysis seat. But like I said, this is very serious. I know we haven't to this point been serious, but we're really going to try to take it seriously. And on the agenda this week, we have, is it better to watch the game in person or is it better to watch the game at home? So this week we're going to have A1 and Cry discuss this, and I hope it really illuminates the issue. Okay.
Since I won the toss, I'm going to elect to defer to the second half. So A1, you can have the kickoff.
Okay, so I don't know how we're timing this, but basically each half is going to be 45 seconds. So if somebody wants to watch their watch or something, and then they can buzz me when the time is up.
Brooks got it. Okay.
Five. All right. Okay. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Good evening. My argument is that we should be watching football matches in front of a TV and not in the stadium. My argument is mostly about responsibility. Now, the average TV, when turned on, uses about 80 to 400 watts. Now, I don't understand anything about energy, but what I'd like you to assume is that that's a terrifying number. Okay. Are you afraid? Good. Now, if you're not there in your house actually watching the TV, then that is 80 to 400 watts heating and lighting and showing gratuitous football to an empty room. Is that a good use of unlimited fossil fuels? Is it? It's also important to consider the number of animals in the TV.
Oh, no.
The Andrix puppy, the Frosty's tiger. Now, tigers, as we all know, are an endangered species, and you're going to be leaving it unattended in your house. What? No, it isn't. In a small glass container. Well, just try to squeeze yourself into a stadium that is notoriously too small. And that's clearly not fair. He was interrupting me all the way through my speech.
Well, Martin Atkinson ruins games for all of us, but...
Bricks, I don't know how you felt, but I feel like the obvious fouling by Cry was worth something in my book. I mean, the boy kept going. It was like he got into the box. He had Martin Skrtel grabbing at his shirt, and he wouldn't stop talking, and that's worth something. That's worth something. How do you feel about A1's performance there?
A1's performance, I mean, he stays on his feet. He is honest. This is going to be really hard to beat, especially when the offending party has shortened his segment to 40 seconds.
Yes!
It's going to be really hard to beat, and especially he brought up fossil fuels. I haven't heard an Englishman talk about fossil fuels since Thatcher like that. I mean,
it's sexy. Really good. It's really sexy.
Topical,
yeah.
And but Cry is up next.
He's got 10 men on the field.
And he is going to be discussing the benefits of watching a football match in the stands.
I don't see how he's going to top the first half, but this really is a lame of two halves. Cry, kickoff starts now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, judges. First of all, it's better to watch the game in the stadium, and there's only one reason why. Because in this dire straits where everybody's scraping nickel and dime, there's a unit out there for everybody to take advantage of. I have four, ladies and gentlemen, four tickets all next to each other in the back of the stadium, middle of the lower bowl, and I will sell them to you for a grand total of $200 each on StubHub, where you can watch this game You can get the whole atmosphere, the singing, the dancing, the chanting, the heartbreak of Tim Sherwood doing something completely stupid, all with me and StubHub.
Wow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what you just witnessed was probably one of the most analytical discussions on watching a game in person versus watching a game in the stands that you're going to hear on the internet. Personally, I feel that there can't be one loser out there who's listening to this discussion. We're all winners. I would like to say, however, that in the end, the name StubHub is so catchy that it did overcome some of that strength and bravery that the young Englishman showed in the first half. I don't
fuck
know
your English spirit.
I don't know how you felt about it, Brix. Thoughts, please.
I'm having a really hard time because once you've played a party foul in the box, it's really hard to recover from. It was a really strong showing from 10 men, all subs used in the second half. I'm gonna have to lean, with AO on this one, and I think as much as a public service that StubHub really is to all of us, I mean, it is beyond a gift. It's better than the internet. So it's like, but with A1 was so focused in thinking about everything that goes into watching the game at home rather than just the large picture of the, you know, global warming ending entity that is StubHub. So I give this match to AO.
I'm going to have to agree simply so that I'm not labeled as xenophobic.
Yes!
What?
Suck it, Cry. Cheat.
So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, what you've heard is, I know, it's a little heavy, it's a little hard to delve into these topics like this, but please join us again next week for another installment of A Lame of Two Halves. Thank you.
Well, that was Lame of Two Halves. If you have any suggestions for future Lame of Two Halves topics, please respond in the comment section or tweet one of the other three people. Don't tweet me because I'm not going to respond. I don't got time for that bullshit.
But, you know, we also do pay attention to our mailbags.
Yes, we will answer your questions. All of them.
We're not above that.
All your questions.
No. I'm definitely too good for all the questions. Don't tweet them at me, please.
I'm possibly not good enough for the questions.
All right, well, good luck.
Just tweet bricks.
Yeah.
Lucky me.
Well, now that me being the sore loser that I am, I'm going to have to go on the rant. And I was originally going to go on a quick rant about youth teams and the cross similarities to AAU basketball in America and all that stuff. But there's some things that happened over the weekend that just made me angry. And I'm just going to give you a list of my current five things that I hate the most in the world. The first thing I have to give a big fuck you to is cancer. Cancer just fucking sucks. Nobody likes cancer. And I only wish cancer onto one person in the entire world. And you'll hear about that person later on in this rant. Number four, West Ham. West Ham. Always fuck West Ham because of Zionsgate. I will never forgive you for it. Fuck West Ham. Fuck all you Nazi sympathizers over there. Three, the third thing that I can't stand more than anything else, and it's the person I hope gets cancer, is Kobe Bryant.
Hey!
Fuck Kobe Bryant. Fuck Kobe Bryant. Fuck Kobe Bryant.
I just wanted to throw out there that we did talk before the pod about swearing. We had a little discussion about that. And I believe the consensus was we're not just going to constantly throw the F-bomb. That was pretty much the only thing that we agreed on. I just want to point that out.
Kobe Bryant brings out... I just hate him. Hate, I hope all the bad things in the world happen to him and just him.
Well, he's not number one.
The second thing I hate most right now... The second thing I hate most in the world right now is junk mail. Because that seems to be the only people in the world who write me actual letters. And they just... It just annoys me. Because all I get is junk mail and spam. Nobody actually, like, loves me. And one thing...
This car with the 0.0 APR? Come on, man.
My credit score sucks right now. I don't need another credit card, Capital One. Thank you.
Okay, okay.
But the one thing that I hate most than anything in the world is Duke University. I just want you to fall into the Atlantic Ocean, Duke University. I hate you. I hate everything about you. I hate my friends that are in grad school right now at Duke University. I hate you because you go to that evil, evil school. And that's... are the things that I hate the most. I'm done. I'm gonna take a time out now, take a breath. Ayo, go on with your whatever's next. I just need a minute.
You guys, okay. What the fuck was that?
I think that was basically a little therapy session.
Yeah.
Where he got to get it off his chest. And, you know, we do have a person interested in psychology here, so... A1, if you need to psychoanalyze that, we'll understand.
Okay, so this is the new segment that immediately follows Cry's Rants, where I spontaneously psychoanalyze Cry. So essentially, my analysis, and obviously it's very difficult to make judgments just from a few minutes, but basically Cry is a bad person. Yeah, that's all I've got.
What's the prescription? Fair.
I mean, there's no cure. There's no cure. So, I mean, on the one hand, there's good news, which is that not everybody is Cry. Only Cry is Cry. But then the bad news is that Cry is a terrible person.
Yeah.
Listen. If you have hate in your heart, sometimes you just have to let it out. If you hate something, you have to let it know that you hate it. And I hate Duke.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I would say is if you have that much hate in your heart and you really need to let it out, don't be afraid of getting right in there with something sharp and just let all that hate out. Just once.
That should be enough.
Yeah.
Really, that's like one touch, you know, have a good first touch, you know, if we're going to talk about it here. get right in touch with that hate. Yeah, I think it's good to hate things sometimes. It, you know,
hate's a good emotion.
Yeah. You know, I'm a very like neutral, unopinionated person, and I definitely think that hate is a bad thing, but sometimes a good thing.
Oh,
are you Miss Contradiction today?
Yeah, tell us how you really feel.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Okay, so the next segment. No, seriously, what is it?
Yeah, come on, Cry.
Oh, the next segment is A1 and Vince's personal favorite. We did not see the incident. To Aston Wenger.
Oh, right, okay. So this, I guess, isn't that much of a segment. It's really just what Arsene Wenger was watching this week that means that he didn't see the incident. And this week, Arsene Wenger was watching the Winter Olympics, particularly the curling he was interested in. So unfortunately, he didn't see the incident.
Ugh.
But he did see some Russian women curl up.
Yeah, he did see that.
Are we sure that that's what he was watching? Because, spoiler alert, I have it on good authority that he was watching Frank Underwood become president of the United States in House of Cards Season 2.
Just want to explain the way that spoilers work. We seem to be having some problems just preliminarily on this podcast. So what? Ideally, if I was going to spoil, for example, the information that Cry is a terrible person, what I would do first is I would say, spoiler alert about Cry's character. And then I would say, Cry is a terrible person.
Can I try it?
Yeah, you try it.
Okay, so I was watching that John Adams miniseries, which is really good, if you guys have all watched it. And spoiler alert about the some, you guys, he dies. It was really, and his wife dies, and Thomas Jefferson dies.
What happened to Washington?
That was very good spoiling.
They showed that off camera. I'm going to assume that he might have died too, though. I haven't seen him around.
Okay. Vince, okay, you're the one who started this. You, with your spoiler of The Godfather.
Oh, well, you know. I take full credit. I start terrible trends, and then, I guess
the worst.
This is all my fault. So
yeah, I'd just like to put it, I do blame you, and, you're not as terrible a person as Cry.
What'd I do?
No, you're a terrible person. But I would say if Cry is a 9 out of 10 on the terrible scale, that Godfather spoiler puts you at a solid 7 out of 10.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with being mediocre terrible. It's comfortably known. I'm comfortably mid-table.
Yeah, we've come full circle. We're back to Tottenham now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, forgot about them.
I can't wait for them to be relegated.
Bunch of fucking
I have
idiots.
A question. I have a serious question about Tottenham.
Okay.
Which would you rather see regards to Tottenham? Tottenham finishing fifth, but by finishing fifth prevents Arsenal from winning the league? Or Tottenham finishing fourth and potentially third, but causing Arsenal to win the league?
Please. I get to answer first. Okay. Just to prove that I'm a better person than everybody here, which we already know because I'm like a 3 on the hateability scale, but I would say that it doesn't matter what Arsenal does. If we pay them any mind, then we're just as bad as they are. So whatever we do is best. I don't fucking care what happens to Arsenal. They could die for all I care. Or win the league. Who cares? I don't know. I only care about my club. And Koscielny.
I think that I kind of have a similar opinion, but based on different things. So I also think that we shouldn't give a shit about what happens to Arsenal. But my reasoning for that is that Arsenal will never achieve anything anyway. So
why worry?
I don't really know what we're worried about. Man City are much better than Arsenal. Man City will obviously win the league.
They kind of deserve it. They have Negredo.
Yeah. Yeah, Negredo, the good soldado.
My the
I think it's the, yeah.
But they're spelled the same.
I always said the.
Well, you guys are wrong, that's okay. I'm all against you. I would also just like to say for the record that if Alvaro Negredo and I were walking down the street, we could be brothers. And it's always weird to watch somebody that like kind of looks like you doing something and making a lot of money, and you think about like your life and you're like, wow. Where did it all go wrong, you know?
It's exactly what I thought, being on video conference with you.
Question. Is Negredo the one with the baby god blue eyes?
He's the one that looks like...
That's Navas.
Yeah. He's the one that's like the epitome of man, and he just smells like man, and he looks like a man.
Oh my god. No. I think Navas is the better looking one of the two.
Oh.
Well... Oh. Obviously, Negredo was better looking. Objectively, Negredo was better looking because, objectively, I'm good looking. So
Navas is what Frank Sinatra would look like if he was Spanish.
Nobody thinks Frank Sinatra is attractive. It's all about Dean Martin.
But to answer the question, I don't care about Arsenal at all. I just dislike them so much. I would love to get in the Champions League, and if they won the league because of that, I'd be fine with it. It doesn't make their fans any less or any more smug towards us. I just don't care. The whole thing of them not winning a trophy, listen, they've still been more successful than we have been in the last 8 years. We just have to get over that. I would love to be successful if they were successful. I'd rather that they were, you know, relegated, but we know that's not going to happen. So I give zero fucks about what they do. I just want us to be successful.
We're going to probably count that as, yeah, the goodly order. First of all, before we go, I want to say that of all the Arsenal players, I would love to have our future Welsh Jesus, Aaron Ramsey, at Tottenham. That's just Woo-hoo! Me, my personal opinion. But it's getting pretty late for AO, and we don't want to make him grumpy. He's got to go to work in the morning.
Yeah, I'm already grumpy.
And I'll get my prescription medicine for all my hate. On behalf of all the other members of Mashup Free Podcast at We Is Us Production, we'd like to thank you guys for listening. You guys have a wonderful night, and come on Tottenham, come on you Spurs.